Mike is away this morning, and I'll be pitch hitting for Mike. I appreciate the opportunity. I appreciate the elders' confidence in me to be able to speak and preach and teach what is in God's Word. We'll be singing the song of encouragement in just a little while. If you're in our assembly this morning and not a child of God, we'd like to give you an opportunity to become a New Testament Christian by saying that you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, ready to repent, change your life from the way that you've been living it. Make that great confession before men and go down into the waters of baptism. Have all of your sins washed away. Or maybe you're here this morning and there's something here that you want to, the brethren here to pray with you about. We encourage you to come in just a few minutes when we extend that invitation. Before I begin my lesson this morning, I would like to read you a thank you card, and this is from myself. It says, "Thanks for your prayers, words of comfort, and many cards that were sent when my father passed away. You were there with me. It meant so much." And I'll post his card on the back. You happy, Jeff? One word. When you leave today, I want you to think about one word. It's a pretty simple word. Here it is. That's your word for today. That's your word for the week. That's a word for your life, is to do. I started getting my thoughts together and I thought, this is pretty depressing. Because I begin to see so many things that I'm not doing. And how do I present this lesson without being so negative? I'm going to try this morning. But it's very sobering to me to think about what I, as a child of God, should be doing. The responsibility that is put upon my shoulders as a child of God, the things that I should be doing in His service, serving Him and my fellow man. I find myself so many times falling short of what I should be doing. So bear with me this morning. If it does appear to be a little bit on the negative side, maybe it needs to be thus, but James chapter 4 and verse 17, I'd like to read this as I begin my lesson. It says, "Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, many of us that are Christians and have been Christians for a number of years, we have a knowledge of God's truths, but we fail many times with making application. We just simply don't do. We do not let what we read and study and meditate upon to regulate our lives. What most of us need is not an instruction on morals, but a stimulation of conscience to do. And that's what I'm going to try to do today, is to stimulate us and our consciences to help stimulate us to do more for the Lord. And as I look out over the congregation, I see doers. I see many doers. But even if we are doers, isn't there more that we can do for the Lord. You know, it's just like as an illustration. You know, we hear 3-4 lessons a week as we come together on Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday evening, and we have our Bible classes and we have all these lessons. But the question is, what do we do with it? Here's a question that something that's just been in my mind all week. Is the lesson last Sunday that Mike gave from the book of Mark chapter 5 has really troubled me all week. When he talked about the man with the unclean spirit, and you remember how the scriptures describe this man with the unclean spirit, how he was living in the graveyard or in the cemetery area, and how he was bound with chains, and he would break the chains, and the man was naked, did not have clothes, and it says he was cutting himself with the stones, and just a horrible picture of this man. But the point in Mark chapter 5, one of the points was, Jesus had compassion on him. Jesus had compassion on him. And I just thought to myself, how many times in my life that I have not done things because I look at some of the folks and maybe some of their lives are pretty rough, and maybe I'm not ready to venture into helping some of these folks. But I look at Jesus and I see that, and we're not going to run into anybody like that. But Jesus had compassion on him. This lesson that Mike gave me last week has really troubled me. But I guess the question is, what about all the other lessons that we hear on a regular basis in Bible classes? We're talking about in Hebrews the superiority of Christ and the new covenant, the old being done away with and anew. And what do we do with all these thoughts and these lessons that we have? It is sin to hold in our minds a truth, but do not allow it to affect our emotions or our will or our actions. A lot of times, we know to do better, but sometimes we just simply do not do. Let's look at some examples very quickly of not doing. Matthew chapter 21 is the first one, and I just want to read maybe two verses there. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 18. Matthew 21, beginning with verse 18. It says, "Now in the morning as he returned into the city, he hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it, and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, Let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, How soon is the fig tree withered away?" Simple lesson of the fig tree. And if I understand it right, the fig tree, its fruit would come out first, and then its leaves. But Jesus, as he was hungry, he saw this tree and it didn't have any fruit on it, and he knew it wasn't going to have any fruit on it because the leaves were already there. It was a fruitless tree. The tree was cursed, not because it was poisoned, but because it was fruitless. The purpose of this tree was to bear fruit. And one of our purposes today is to bear fruit. I want to tell you about a Christian woman that I know. Lived a very quiet life. She had 5 children who were Christians. She converted her husband by the way that she lived her life. She then had grandchildren that were Christians. And then she had great-grandchildren that were Christians. And then some of her children and grandchildren and converted other people. Stop and look for a moment. Here's one woman that lived her life very quietly, but she bore fruit. Here was some 20 or 25 people, and I say 25 is probably a minimum because there's many others that became Christians because of the way the family lived. She bore fruit. She lived the life that the Lord wanted her to live. This woman's my mother. And I love my mother dearly. I'm in the church today because of my mother. Jeremy Appleton is a Christian today because of my mother. But I want us all right now to stop and look at our lives. Are we being fruitful? My mother wasn't a gospel preacher. She wasn't a real big Bible class teacher. She wasn't any of those things. But she lived the life that the Lord wanted her to live. And look at the results. Look at your life. Let me look at my life. Are we living how Jesus wants us to live? Are we doing the things that Jesus wants us to do in our lives? Are we being the Christians that we need to be? Are we doing because of time, Matthew. My next example is Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. It's a parable of the talents, and I'm not going to read this, but we'll talk about it briefly. One was given 5 talents of money, and what happened? He went out and got 5 more. One was given 2 talents of money. What did he do? He went out and got 2 more. One was given 1 talent. The point is, what did he do? He didn't do anything with it. The ones with the 10 and the ones with 5 were blessed. But are we like that man with the 1 talent? What are we doing with what God has given to us? Is it multiplying? Are we taking our spiritual knowledge and everything that we know spiritually, and are we taking it out into the world? What are we doing with it? What are we doing with what God has put into our hands? Whether it be something financial or something spiritual, what are we doing with what He's given to us? Another one is the rich man, and we'll quickly go by. Luke chapter 16 and verse 19 beginning. Briefly, the rich man had an opportunity to do good. What did he do? He did not do. Another illustration is found in Matthew 25 that was read just a moment ago. And beginning there with verse 34, once again. And as I go through and read this, I want you to stop and think in your life. If there's people came your way and needed something, what was our answer? Look at what he says. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee, look what he says in verse 40. Powerful passage. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it to me. What are we doing when we're serving the world? We're doing things for people out in the world, and we're doing things for Christian people. Jesus says, you're doing it unto me. There's a lot of illustrations in the scriptures that talks about not doing. But what is my duty today? What is my duty as a Christian? What should I be doing? Well, I have an obligation to myself, for one, to live the right kind of life, to be the type of person I need to be. I have a responsibility to my congregation, to my brethren. I cannot get rid of my responsibilities by closing my eyes to them. And I want to confess, I've done that. And as I go through these lists this morning, I want us to realize we can't do everything. Every time there's an email, an everyone email that goes to the entire congregation, I realize we can't get involved in every one of these things. It's impossible. There's so many. My question this morning is, are we responding to any? How many of them do I respond to? And let's go through just a few of them. Jim Roberts isn't here this morning, and Jim has some health issues. But he sent out an email a couple weeks ago about helping remove a deck from the back of his house. They bought a house, and it had an old swimming pool and a deck, and he needed some help. Physical help to remove some posts and some treated lumber and so forth. And it happened that it got canceled. Things didn't work out. But let's just go through this scenario just for a moment. Let's say when Jim gets back, he sends out an everyone email to the entire congregation saying, I need help removing this deck. Physically, I don't believe he could do it himself. What would you think Jim would think if 50 people showed up to do it? I did that. What do you think Jim would think? I'm just saying 50 people. What if 75 people showed up to help him remove this deck? What would Jim and Rose be thinking about you, about the church? I know what I'd be thinking. There'd be a chill going down my spine. I would just be bubbling over. And then another thing. What do you think the neighbors would think? Here's a street line with cars and trucks and all these people going to Jim and Rose's house. They'd think they're throwing some kind of party. But some of their neighbors would probably eventually ask him, well, what was going on over there on Saturday morning? My brethren come to help me. Can you imagine what good that would do, and how positive that would be to our Lord? That's what it's all about, glorifying God. Where somebody goes to move, and Jason Ellis a while back sent out an email about moving something, and Morgan moved, and I want to throw this little whatever in here for just a moment, a little announcement. Some of us older folks would like to retire from moving. Okay? Old Steve up here has been talking about retiring from helping people move for quite a while. And there's some of us old guys that we're not young anymore. And it's getting tougher. And I'm saying, young people, this is one you're going to have to step up to the plate. Here's Steve, and here's Scott McAvee, and myself. And Scott doesn't have gray hair that's visibly showing. But we need some young folks to step up to the plate here and really help with this. And it wouldn't it be neat to see somebody move, and again, 50 people show up to help. We could have an assembly line just passing things, and this is a way we've done sometimes in the past. And you know, it's always neat to have Sam Walker show up on the scene. Here's an amen. You need your refrigerator moved? Sam says, yeah, where do you want it? You know? We have many, many emails sent out. People needing help. What do we do? We have an opportunity, not this week, but the coming week with Don Patton. Little cards have been made, invitations have been made to spread the word. And here's another area that I have really failed, and I plan on doing better. I've made a lot of trips to West Virginia, and I spent a lot of time back there, and their new preacher is working with the congregation there, and they're putting out a lot of efforts to be evangelistic. A lot of his lessons are talking about spreading the gospel of Christ. And this is another thing we can do. Talking to people about Jesus. I met one of my co-workers, used to work at Purdue with me. The guy had just gotten out of prison in Michigan City. I talked to him yesterday about coming to church, coming to worship. And the years gone by, I haven't been very good about doing that. But I need to change my ways. We need to spread that good news. You know, another one was Hank tearing down a garage. Didn't take long to take that garage off that house. A lot of us guys like to tear things apart. Do a very good job of that. Taking meals. Cindy Newton does a very good job about sending out a meal list. This is something else we can do. Prayers. This congregation is known for praying. God bless you. It is so comforting to know that if I have a problem and I make the request known, you're going to be there. Just like Rebecca Judy talked to us about a young child, 2 years old, Aiden, having seizures. You know what? I believe that she knows that you're praying for Aiden. But I wanted you to take it a little step further. I want you to respond to Rebecca. I want you to tell her that you're praying for Aiden. My father died a couple months ago. And you know what? It was a neat thought. It was a neat thing being 400 miles away and my phone buzzing with a text, somebody saying, I'm thinking of you, I'm praying for you. You just don't realize how encouraging that is to actually know that somebody is thinking and praying for you at that moment. It just takes a moment. A lot of times people will make the request. All you have to do is hit that. I'm not very good with phones and computers, but you hit that little curly arrow back there and it'll respond. You type in your little message and hit a send button. It's gone. But look what you've just done. A small thing, but so large. There's girl studies. There's guys studies. There's Bob Visa that generally sits back here, lost his mother just a week or so ago. A lot of us love our mothers. Our mothers may be gone. I don't know what your situation is. But Bob has a very close relationship, or had a close relationship with his mom. I don't know how much you know about our brother Bob Visa. But Bob, when he was a young man, I think maybe 5, 8 years old, I don't remember how old he was. He was sent home from this hospital in Chicago to die. Bob has suffered through a series of transplants and just all kinds of serious problems all his life. But his mom has always been close to him. And it's a time that we can also share with Bob our love and our concern, how we can do for Bob. Titus chapter 3 and verse 1 tells us to be ready unto every good work. Need to be ready. But you know what? Sometimes we begin to make excuses. Bill, don't you realize that I'm working? I've got a full-time job. Bill, don't you realize that I'm married and I have 3 little children? Takes a lot of time. Or 4 children, or 5 children, or 6 children, or whatever it might be. It takes a lot of time. Bill, do you not realize that I'm going to school? It takes a lot of time. Bill, don't you realize that I'm getting old? I just can't do. Bill, do you realize that I'm in failing health? You know what? We can sit down, every one of us, and we can begin to make up some excuse as to why we're not doing. But every one of us, even the categories that I've mentioned, there's something that each one of us can do for the cause of Christ. And this is what I want us to think about when you leave here this morning. And I don't want it just to be a today thing. This needs to be a life change when we go and we do what we need to do for the cause of Christ. I want to close the lesson by giving you a challenge. I got 4 points in the challenge. Number 1. Our elders have asked us that each one of us be busy working for the Lord. We have a plan that's called the Involvement Program that has been designed to help us, each one of us, be involved for the Lord. Are we involved for the Lord? If not, why not? We need to be involved. What is it that I can do for the cause of Christ here in Lafayette? Number 2. In the challenge, I'd like for each one of us to contact one person every day to encourage, teach, or assist, or whatever. One person every day. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to go and visit somebody every day. I'm saying contact one person every day. And here's another little stipulation I want to put in there. It cannot be in your own physical family. We've got to take the blinders off now. We've got to take them off, and we need to begin to look around. Who is it that needs my encouragement? It can be a simple email. It can be a card. It could be a phone call. It can be a visit. It can be inviting somebody over. It can be whatever. But every day of our lives, let us be concerned about somebody else. Every day. I think sometimes we don't challenge ourselves enough. We sometimes think, well, once a week or once a month or whatever. Let's do it every day. Number 3. Let us read and meditate on God's Word every day. That's a challenge. And then number 4, let us pray every day to our Father. Let us communicate with Him. Are we doers? Can we do more? As we look at the early church, and we think about men like, or Christians like Peter, and we think about Paul, and we think about Stephen, and we think about these early Christians, in our minds, what are we thinking? We think about what they did for the church. What are you doing for the Lord's church? What are you doing for the Lord? How are we serving Him? And just like that passage that we read just a moment ago, as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you're doing it unto me. That's what it's all about. It's not to look and say, this is what I'm doing, but we're glorifying our Lord by our actions. I want to close. You've been a very good audience. I appreciate you being attentive this morning. I'd like for you to leave with that one word: do. And I hope a lot of other things pop into your mind as you begin to think about that word do. How can I do for my Lord? Are you subject to the call this morning? Do you want to become a child of God, become one of His servants, become one of His children? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, as we read about in Mark chapter 16, verse 16? Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to change your life and say, I want to serve my Lord, that Lord you've been talking about today? I want to serve Him. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. You want to confess that name of Jesus before men, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Matthew chapter 10, verse 32. And then the beautiful thing of going down into the waters of baptism. Do you want to have every sin of your life washed away, as we read about in Acts chapter 22, verse 16? Are you subject to the Lord's call? Or maybe there's other things there in your life that you want the church here to pray with you about. If you're subject, won't you come as we stand and sing?